The Bridge is a dynamic group of believers in the city of Huntsville, taking a hands-on approach to being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a devoted follower, a skeptic giving this whole church thing a shot, or somewhere in between, you're welcomed at The Bridge.
You just reflecting on some stuff as you're just singing, just how God has been good, how he's just kept your mind stable, how he's provided. When you just think about how good God is, I think it just gets overwhelming. And I just want to just praise God for the praise team, just letting God just have his way today. Can we just affirm our praise team, just their ministry today? Amen. Just real quick, I just got a text. This may be a shout for somebody right now. I just got a text from Ken Dixon. He's at Oakwood University. As I think some of you are aware, they are doing a giveaway, a produce giveaway, for those that have been impacted by the government shutdown. And so he just informed me that there's a ton of food left. And so immediately following service, if you need some food, just head on over to Open University to the skating rink. And there's going to be some food provided for you. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started today. This is our vision weekend. You can go ahead and see if this is, it is. Okay, great. Okay. So let's go ahead and repeat our mission statement together as we get ready to start our time together. Let's repeat. The Bridge exists to empower broken people to become totally committed followers of Christ by possessing a heart for God, possessing a heart for one another, and possessing a heart to serve. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and start our time together. And I'm excited because I believe that God has some great things in store for our community coming up this year. So I want to invite you real quick to turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. And we're going to be focusing our attention on the 11th chapter. And we're just going to read a few verses, Mark 11, verses 15 through 18. And were you there? Just say amen. All right, I'll read in your hearing. It's what the Word of God says. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. Help us, God. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called the house of prayer for some nations, for a few nations, for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. With your prayers and God's help, I want to speak under the subject today, becoming the church that God has created us to be. Becoming the church that God has created us to be. If you'll bow your heads with me. Eternal Father, we just want to say thank you for who you are, God. We want to thank you for being a way maker, a miracle worker. We want to thank you, God, for just those times that we were just well aware of the fact that if you had not come through for us, where would we be? And so now, God, we just take a few moments just to, as a community, talk about the direction for this upcoming year. We just ask that you would have your way, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Man, I want to start off with something I shared with some of our leaders and volunteers this past week. And I want to share this because I just feel like this particular scenario, these type of situations kind of highlight for us the type of people that God kind of has in the field for us to reach. As most of you guys know that I try to spend a lot of time either at Starbucks or UNH Student Center. And the reason why I do that is because I feel like I got to get out of my office, just kind of in my church bubble, and put myself in positions where I can connect and rub shoulders with people that are far from God. And so I know that you guys, I've told you guys about Matthew, and I told some of you guys about a young lady that I met about a week and a half ago at UNH campus. It was kind of crazy because I'm always praying like, God, y'all just give me an opportunity, show me different ways so I can connect with people. I got great relationships with the Dunkin' Donuts people. I probably shouldn't, but we cool, man. They be like trying to give me extra donuts and stuff, and I just be like, yo, Doc, please, like, stop. And so there was this particular young lady, and she was actually sitting next to me while I was studying. She was like a few tables over. And so she approached me. She said, hey, look, I got to go to the restroom. Would you just mind watching my stuff? So I was like, sure, yeah, no problem. So she went, she came back, and she said, I just want to thank you for that. She said, hey, by the way, what do you study? And so I told her that I was actually writing some chapters for my dissertation. And, you know, she said, well, what are you doing? And are you getting a PhD? It's like, no, it's a doctor's ministry. She said, well, what's that? And so, actually, I never start with this, as you already know, but this time I didn't feel like I had to hold anything back. So I was like, since she already knows I'm doing a doctorate ministry, so hey, it's already out there. So I was like, hey, yeah, I'm a pastor in the area. She's like, oh, for real? I was like, yeah. So then I exchanged names, and then I find out her name, and it's like a real exotic foreign name. So I was like, yo, so where is that from? She said, Bangladesh. So I was like, okay, cool, all right. So is your family, what's your religious background? She said, well, my family's Hindu, but I'm an atheist. So then as soon as she said that, I was just like, I know why we're about to have this conversation. So I'm praying, I'm like, okay, God, let's see what's gonna happen here. So I was like, oh, for real? It's like, yo, how, you know, it's like, what, can you just talk to me about your journey? Like, how did you end up becoming an atheist? And so she said that her grandmother was very sick, and her mother, being a devout Hindu, was like praying and doing all of the different things. She's very devout, doing all the things you're supposed to be doing in the Hindu religion. And that in spite of all of that, that her grandmother died. And so her conclusion was that, man, if I was doing all this, my mother was doing all this stuff, we were praying, we're doing whatever incantations or whatever we're doing, and my grandmother still dies, that I just don't even believe in the existence of God. So I was like, oh, okay. And so eventually, I don't even know, we end up talking, and somehow I just start talking to her about, and I don't remember how I got into this segue, because one of the things, again, that I've been learning and that the Holy Spirit's been teaching me, just in my conversations with people, is like, there's no need to give an entire 28 fundamentalist Bible study in one sitting, right? In fact, there's no need, unless the Holy Spirit shows you an opening, to try to be just push stuff down on folk and try to convert them in this one sitting. You just got to watch for the opportunities and the openings. So, but I did feel impressed because she knows I'm a pastor. She knows I believe in God. And I just said, look, you know, one of the things that I've discovered about kind of religion in general, when it's there's like, a, you know, there's kind of some negative false religion sometimes. I was like, what I've discovered is that in religion, sometimes there's an attempt to distort who God really is. And so then I talked to her about examples in Christianity. I talked to her about eternal burning hell and how that's caused many people not to believe in God, because they're like, how could a good God, a great God, a merciful God, for somebody that's just been living for 70 years of their life, now punish them for the ceaseless ages of eternity, right? So we're going, you know, just kind of talking, and I'm just, you know, just kind of pouring and just praying and asking God just give me the right words. So she then asked me, said, well, hey, Pastor, can I ask you some advice? So I was like, praise the Lord. Okay, you know, obviously I have not offended her to the point where she's just like, okay, I got to get away from this guy. She's like, yo, can I ask you some advice and counsel? So she asked me about some relationship advice that she was, some stuff she was dealing with. And she asked me, was she immoral for kind of how she was kind of conducting herself? And I said, well, let me just ask you a question. What do you think? And so she said, well, I actually kind of think this wasn't the right thing for me to do. And so I said, okay, I know you don't believe in God, and you already know I'm a pastor, so I'm going to drop this on you. Like, that feeling right there, that kind of sense that this is not the right thing, I just want you to know from my perspective that that is actually God kind of letting you know that that's not the right thing. And so, you know, we kind of get to the end of the discussion, and I said, hey, look, would you mind if I, you know, kind of pray for you? Because I know that you don't believe in God right now, but there is a God that does love you with an everlasting love. I believe that with all of my heart. And that even this encounter, this meeting, this conversation was orchestrated. It was divinely set up by him. And that he's going to do whatever he takes throughout your life to show you that he, one, exists, and that, two, that he loves you with an everlasting love. And so she was just like, okay, cool. So I was like, well, do you mind if I pray for you? She's like, yeah, sure. So I was like, I have my prayer journal with me. So I was like, yo, just write your name down because I know I was going to spell that right. So she writes her name down, and I'm praying for it, right? So I, you know, go back to UAH. It's like constantly, that's my spot. Starbucks, UAH. And so I run into her, and I run into her best friend. So back at the Dunkin' Donuts, help me God. I'm back at the Dunkin' Donuts, man. And so I'm there, and so she and her friend are getting some food from there. And then so she rolls up, and she's like, yo, that's the pastor I was telling you about. And so she tells her girlfriend, she's like, this is the pastor I was telling you about, the guy that I was telling you that I told like my whole life to this the other day. And so then I learned her girlfriend's name. She's also from Bangladesh. She's a Muslim because Bangladesh is primarily a Muslim country. The Hindu religion is the minority religion in Bangladesh. And then she tells me that she's agnostic. So I'm like, my good night, man. Yo, this is a mission field up in here, right? I'm like, okay, so I was like, cool, you know, yes, we had Dunkin' Donuts, we not about to start that up right here, you know. So I was like, cool, you know, it's great seeing you guys, whatever. And so, you know, every now and then I run into them while I'm at UNH doing my studies. I say, what's up? I've made a point. Y'all trained me here at the bridge. I'm trying to get better with names. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for busting me out the other week. So that prepared me, though. That prepared me. Amen. That prepared me to make sure I got these names, right? And so when I remembered their names this time, they were just like, wow, yo, you remember our names. And so I know that God is setting this up. Now, why am I saying this? Because I just, guys, if we could just really grasp and understand just the amount of people just within the 2.5 mile radius of where this campus lies that are just in desperate need of somebody that knows God. Just desperate need. And the thing is that more and more Christians, more and more people that are particularly of faith, we have those that have been like, that are in Hinduism and those that are agnostic or atheist, but there are increasingly a number of individuals that were once professed Christians that are now losing faith, that are now walking away from the church. This is something that I was just showing the TV the other day, just how post-Christian America has become. Between 2013 and 2015, the percentage of Americans who qualify as post-Christian rose by 7.6%. And this was crazy. If you're a millennial in the house today, that it's a miracle that you're even here today. Because studies are saying now that 59%, how many percentage, everybody? 59% of millennials who grew up in the church have dropped out at some point. So if you're here in church today, wow, that's just, you are like in that rare, like little segment there of people that are still kind of involved in faith, still involved in church. And the question that we'd have to ask, really, honestly, is why is really this happening? Why is like millennials, people of my generation X, People are just kind of like, it's not at the same clip, but they're kind of not being a part of the fellowship of faith either. And it, like, why is that taking place? And what I want to suggest to us, and the reason why that's taking place, is because for many of them, they have run into churches like the one that Jesus got upset in our text in Mark chapter 11. Just kind of paint a picture. Jesus walks into the temple. He comes and, yo, in the temple back in the day, man, folk, they're like, there's hundreds of people there. They're making offerings and sacrifices unto God. There's a lot of busy activity taking place. Just a lot of hustle and bustle, a lot of things taking place. Man, people are singing, they're worshiping, they're sacrificing. There's a whole bunch of stuff taking place in the temple. So Jesus gets there and he looks around and he sees something and it gets him so angry. Now look, when we look at Jesus typically, Jesus, man, that, you know, Jesus, he's touching the eyes of the blind, he's healing the sick, he's playing with the children, he's just like that. I mean, Jesus is the, I mean, this is such a just unusual image of Jesus Christ. But he gets into the temple and he looks, and something about what's taking place upsets him so much that he just, I mean, just imagine if you were at, okay, and I know we're a blackout church, but we'll use this as an illustration. You're at the Super Bowl, right? You just enjoyed the first half of the Super Bowl, right? You just, I mean, it's been a great game. It's not a blowout like what happened to Alabama the other day. And that's, look, that's my team, though. That's my, yo, I used to live with, that's my team, but let's keep it real. Nick Saban got his tail handed to him. I mean, good night. Anyway, all right, let's keep focused. All right, so it's been a great first half. Great first half. I mean, yo, it's been going down. It's competitive and everything. Then all of a sudden, during the halftime show, some crazed lunatic comes out with a bulldozer and just totally destroys the field at halftime. So that going forward, they cannot do any more playing because he's just ruined everything. That's Jesus in the temple. Jesus comes in and he's so disruptive. He's just so turning stuff over. In fact, it got so bad. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus was so angry that it says that in verse 16, he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. So, man, you got like some water, you trying to catch it. Knock that door right on down. Nah. You ain't carry that today. Man, you have like a lamb, you got on the soil. He's like, nah. Nobody can do it. So everybody looking around the corners and stuff like, yo, where Jesus at? Because as soon as you stick your head out, wow, yo, that door is going down. You're not carrying that. I mean, dude, he is handling major business in the temple. And the question that we would ask ourselves, again, is why is all this taking place? Why is all this taking place? Because it's not the picture of Jesus that we normally typically see. And so what I want to suggest to us is that there are three reasons. There's three reasons why Jesus got upset. Next slide. Three reasons why Jesus got upset. And so the first thing I want to break down just a little bit about what the original sanctuary looked like in the Old Testament. Are y'all with me? Can we just do a little kind of study real quick? Okay, so this is the Old Testament sanctuary. And what God said, he said, let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. And then he said right after that, that I want you to make this according to the pattern that I showed you. So God shows them a particular pattern and breaks down the sanctuary, all right? So here's kind of the sanctuary real quick. It's just, you know, this is a tent. You had the front entrance. That's kind of the court where everybody was at. Then everybody, did their sacrifices right here in the outer court. Then you have the sanctuary where you have the holy place. And then you have the most holy place, right? Okay, so I want you to just kind of notice here, the court of the tabernacle is just one court for everybody. Oh, man. Amen. It's one court for everybody. Praise the Lord for stability. Amen. So it's just one court for everybody. Are y'all with me? Okay. Now let's look at the temple in Jesus' day. All right. Next slide. All right. Now, in Jesus' day, you have this court for the Israelites. You have a court for what, everybody? the Israelites, and that's right up here, right in the court. This is where only the men could go. So if you're a worshiper and you're a man, you went to that court, right? There's a priest there and there's the men there. Then you have the holy place and the most holy place. Then when you come out of the court where only the men can go, then you have the women's courtyard. You have what, everybody? In the women's courtyard, you got the chamber of lepers, the chamber of Nazarites. And then on the outside of the temple proper, you have the Gentiles' courtyard. You have what, everybody? You have the Gentiles' courtyard. Now, when God set this up, there wasn't all these divisions, right? When God set it up, everybody, whether they be Jew or Gentile, they stood in the outer court. But when the religious people got a hold of this thing, what they did was they said, okay, we're going to add on to what God has done. So what we're going to do is instead of just having an outer court for everybody, both Jew and Gentile, because all of them stood equal as sinners before God, that's how God set it up, what we're going to do is we're going to create levels to this thing. And then what we're going to do for the Gentiles is we're going to create barriers in their way for them connecting with God. And so the reason why God was upset with this particular church is because they erected barriers that hindered people from connecting to God. See, what they did was they added on to God's design. Everybody's at the same spot, but no, we're gonna give you all some barriers. We're gonna put some things in the way that's gonna prevent you from connecting to God. God said, my house will be a house of prayer for some people. For how many people? For all people, the Bible says. But what's crazy is that religious people are always trying to erect barriers to hinder people from connecting to God. Now, why am I talking about this in the context of a vision statement for the bridge? For prison, vision time for the bridge. One of the first things that God impressed upon this community that we just felt convicted by God to do is we said, God, like, we do not want to be a community that will erect barriers that will prevent people from connecting to God. We were convicted that God had called the bridge to be a community that would tear down barriers and build bridges. We wanted to make sure, by the grace of God, that we removed any barrier that hindered people from connecting with God. So, for instance, one of the things we found out, we were in the community. Like, what's a barrier? Man, what God told us, like, yo, dude, we're out in the community, yo, hey, man, where do you guys worship at? We're like, yo, dude, we worship at this little spot right over here. He's like, man, but I can't come. He's like, well, why can't you come? Oh, man, I don't really have any dress clothes to come. So we're just like, yo, dude, if that's going to be a barrier for you connecting with God, we're not going to hold on to that because that really doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt wear dress clothes to church, right? But if that's going to be something that's going to hinder people in the community that may be far from God, from connecting with God, we want to tear that barrier down. You with me? Just say amen. We're just like, yo, dude, man, some people just like, yo, man, I worship in a certain way, man. I just don't really feel free to worship. God's been so good to me. We're like, yo, dog, we're gonna tear that barrier down. There's no need for that. Dog, if God has been good to you, man, if he's been better to you than you've been to yourself, man, if he's delivered you, if he's been a way maker, man, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? Yo, have freedom to worship. Have freedom to worship. And so we're just like, yo, dude, we don't want the bridge to have an environment where, man, if people just want to just worship God, just be free in the spirit, that there would be any type of barrier for them doing that. If you understand, just say amen. Man, we wanted to tear down the barrier of people feeling like they had to fix themselves before they came to God. Because we know the gospel says that I can't fix myself, right? The gospel says that I've got to allow God to fix me, and so I come to him, and then he does the work on the inside out. If we would be just say amen. Then we believe, we're like, yo, do you know what? Man, we've got to tear down the barriers that cause people to believe that if they fall into sin, especially ones that are very outward, like if I'm an unwed mother, that somehow, some way that I can't bring my child to be blessed by God. Like, we're tearing that thing. Like, no, dude, like, there's the child has not sinned. Like, and dude, praise God for redemption and repentance. Amen, somebody. And so what we discovered is that Jesus, in contrast to what the religious people did, was about building bridges and tearing down barriers. And we believe that God is going to use this community, the bridge, to be a group of people that are not going to be about erecting barriers, but about about building bridges. If you would be, just say amen. Second thing that kind of happened in that they realized is that, and we're going to go to the next slide. We're going to go to this diagram here. All right, so stay right there. So second thing that Jesus, why he was mad at the church, why he was mad at the church folk. Okay, so this is the what quarter I'm right here? This is what courtyard right here? Okay, so in this courtyard, what they would do is they would take all of the sheep and all of the selling and everything. They didn't put that in the Israelite courtyard where the men were. They didn't put that in the women's courtyard. They put all that stuff in the Gentiles' courtyard, the people that were far from God, right? Now, they didn't even have to do that. There was another place that they actually slaughtered and did the selling before. But in the time of Jesus, what they did was, because that place was kind of far off, it wasn't convenient for them. So what they did was, they said, okay, you know what we'll do? We're going to do what's convenient for us at the expense of people getting a clear picture of who God is. So what we're going to do is we're going to move this stuff here. Who cares whether or not it's preventing the Gentiles from connecting to God, because it's what's convenient for me. And the second point that we're raising for why Jesus was mad at the church was because they cared more about their convenience than they cared about people seeing God. And so the thing is that the church in Jesus' day, they valued convenience more than reaching people. Religion for them was about what made them happy, what made them comfortable. And how many know in the building today that if that is like the root of your religion, convenience, that you're not following after God? Because the truth of the matter is that how many know that if you are serving the Lord, it's going to be inconvenient? Oh, I died. Amen, somebody. Lord is going to have you having conversations with some people you don't want to have. He's going to have you going into some spots that you don't want to go. He's going to have you interrupting some things you had on your schedule that you did not want to interrupt. When you are serving God, when you are following Jesus, the bottom line is that stuff is going to be inconvenient. And so what we felt like as a community, as a bridge, just by the grace of God, is that we want to have a mindset, we want to have a spirit where our convenience is second to people's salvation. So, if it's about somebody getting to know Jesus and me being comfortable, we want to get to the place where we'll every single time, we want to get to the place where we'll always choose that person and value them more than what we got going on. When the Holy Spirit comes and interrupts our schedule, our plans, what we want, that we want to have a spirit and the attitude where, man, if he interrupts me, I'm willing to say yes to his will, yes to his way. And so Jesus was frustrated because this whole thing was set up so people could see God. But they eventually said, yo, you know, bump that. We're going to choose what's convenient as opposed to people seeing God. And the third thing that happened, why Jesus was mad with the church, is that they despised the people who God loved. See, they only liked people who were like themselves. They only liked people that went to the same school that they went to. They only liked people that talked in the same way, that wore the same clothes, that were kind of the same socioeconomic status. That's the only people that they loved to just roll with, to rub, to chill with. And so because they despised the people that God cared about, they said, we don't care that we're going to kick everybody outside. That's not God's plan. That's not his way. That's not how we got set up. And on top of that, we're not going to only put them on the outside, but then we're going to put all of the merchants, we're going to put all of the sheep, we're going to just disrupt their ability to be able to see and connect with God, because we really don't care about the people that God loves. And the question that we got to ask, that we have to ask, and what we ask as a community, is we're just like, Lord, do we really love the people that you love? When somebody comes into the worship gathering or missional community and they don't smell quite the way that we think they should smell, do we love them? Are we intentional about when people come through the doors that may not have graduated from Oakwood? That may be outside of our comfort circle. Are we intentional about connecting with them? Because we want to be the type of people that love people that God loves. And so, man, Jesus is frustrated with these dogs because, man, they don't get it. They don't get it. And so here we were just like, yo, we don't want to be that type of people. By God's grace, we are claiming Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Jesus declares, this is my church, that I'm going to build it, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Somebody ought to say amen, that Jesus is in charge of his church. And I believe with all of my heart, with all of my soul, that God has raised up the bridge. He's raised up this campus to tear down boundaries and to build bridges. I believe with all of my heart that God has raised up this campus and this people to care about folk, care about people more than about their convenience. I believe that God has raised up this campus, raised up our group to be a type of people that will have a heart that's broken for people that he loves. I believe that. And that's what God has been, he's started that. He is starting that right now within our church. And so just last year, we got a few, boom, boom, boom. Yes. We started this thing where we talked about, man, we're gonna love the city. We're gonna do what, everybody? We're gonna do what, everybody? We're gonna love the city, man. God has been good to us, man. And so, man, that thing kind of picked up, man. Some of our group, man, they just said, yo, we're just about to take that thing and go next level with love the city. We about to love it. I mean, love it, because we want to love the people that God loves. And so there's this group that got started, man, a Bridge Empowerment Team, BET. BET, up in the house, man. Got started, man. Just got a hunger and a desire to love the city, to love people that are far from God, to love the people that maybe just naturally we would not be drawn to, that we would not gravitate to. It's like, yo, we're gonna be intentional about loving people. And so this last year, just a few highlights from that ministry. Man, 128 pairs of women and children's winter gloves donated to the downtown rescuers. Come on, let's give God a praise. Come on, give God a praise. 78 toboggans to homeless campsites and rescues. Go, go, give God a praise. 47 winter blankets to the homeless campsites. Come on, praise the Lord. 40 bins of propane fuel for homeless campsites. 268 items of clothing and shoes to homeless and to others in the community. 64 household items, silverware, dishes, pots, pans. 108 gallons of bottled tap water. We all know about that bottled tap water up in here. Mom would be like, yo, man, I need y'all to empty out all y'all gallon plastic jugs and bring them with you to church. Amen. With water in them. Praise the Lord. Amen. 10 items of furniture, beds, dressers, tables, and chairs. Because, man, God put in our hearts, Lord, help us to love people like you do. Help us not to be about our own convenience. Help us to tear down barriers and to build bridges. So God bless, and this is not, I wasn't able to get everything because it was just too much stuff. Man, God bless us to be able to bless our community where we were able to do a community baby shower and blessing. Can we give God a praise? And for those of you that were here, you remember, man, we were on the other side. We're in that lobby, man. We just got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of diapers. I was traumatized by that. But man, we put put these diapers together, and they got all these little nice diaper cakes, man. And we're out there, we're just ministering to the community. I mean, just folk there just being blessed by the community, seeds being planted for the kingdom of God. Next slide. Man, then we just like, yo, dude, how can we just be a blessing and honor our heroes? And so, man, a group of us got together, man, got into the kitchen, just started cooking some stuff, man. And then went to different firehouses within the 2.5 mile radius of this campus to be a blessing to our firefighters. Man, just pouring into, get going and give God a praise. God is good. God is good. Next slide. Next slide. Man, dude, this thing kind of got out of control. This was the one that we just really had no handle on. So we just felt like, dude, the Morris Elementary, no PTA, nothing here. The parents are not able to be involved for whatever reason. Some are not interested. Some are working 2 or 3 jobs. We're like, hey, let's step in and fill in the gap. So, man, at the beginning of the year, we did something for our teachers, blessed them, did just breakfast for them, prayed over them. We've been doing things for our teachers throughout the year, just blessing them with different items. They had no paper. That's so insane for me. At school, no paper. We're like, what? And we wonder why the kids are struggling. No paper. They didn't have, their money hadn't hit yet. So, man, we just rallied together, man. Just got a bunch of paper, man. Jamil, our man, Jamil Adams was here, man. He went in, just delivered all that stuff, man. And so, man, we came together, and this one, man, we were like, yo, okay. At first, what we're going to do, we're back and forth. We're waffling back and forth. Dude, should we do it? Should we not? Should we do it? So then you know how you do. Like, the last week of Nacresha, the last week of, we're just like, okay, God, we're going to go ahead and do this thing. So, man, Nacresha, the crew, all of y'all, man, we rallied together, man. Pulled something. Mama Barbara got like a Noah Ark kind of thing up in there. And she's like, yo, we about to be biblical up in this doing a Halloween. We about to preach some gospel up in here. And so we did this thing for the entire school. And guys, when I say, dude, that there was so many people out there, it was insane. Like, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people out there. We have like a little thing here. Go ahead and say, I would get some of the pics of the trunks, but I wasn't able to get all of them. Dude, guys, it was insane. Now, here's the crazy thing about that. And we're just like, we got Wonder Woman over here. Yeah, okay, all right, represent Wonder Woman, yeah. And so, man, the thing that was so crazy about it, though, so crazy, something so simple, man. Like, we ran out of candy, like, we thought we were doing something. We're like, yo, dude, we got a bunch of candy. We ain't going right. Like, we got candy up in here. That thing ran out like in 30 minutes, man. Jumpers were just running through, right? But the thing is that, like, there was some kids out there, and we had some teachers. First thing, there was like a teacher came to me, she was just in tears. She's like, yo, dude, thank you guys so much. These kids don't really get this. They don't have anybody that's really interested. One teacher said there was this guy, man, been a troublemaker, man, just acting up, just going crazy in class, doing a bunch of stuff. They saw him out there, they're like, oh snap, it's going down. We need somebody, security, to be watching that kid. Yo, the spirit of the Lord arrested that boy. Man, he acted fine. He was chilling. He had a good time. And so we realized, dude, this is an opportunity for us to go next level with this thing, to even be more intentional, to be even more just kind of about just connecting with who God has assigned for us to be a blessing to. So, man, we're just like, we're loving our city. We're loving our city. We're loving our city, man. And this is a few things. And so what we're believing God for this next year is we talk about just kind of reaching out because there's 3 rhythms. How many rhythms, everybody? How many rhythms, everybody? 3 that the bridge as we operate on. We're trying to follow the 3 rhythms of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, but I'm going to say it for a 1,001. And that is that Jesus Christ, he had 3 kind of relationships. He had one with the Father, the up rhythm. The what, everybody? Okay, so he's spending time with his Father. He had the in rhythm where he's spending time in relationship with others. The what rhythm? And then he had the out rhythm where he's out in service, being a blessing, healing the sick, preaching the gospel to other people. And so that's what we try to live by. That's what we try to live by. And so we're believing God in 2019 to take we're going to try to take last year to the next level. We believe that God's going to do greater. And already, some of you already just hey, we want to get involved, we want to get active, of just giving ideas and just new ideas, new concepts. Spirit is just kind of speaking through all different type of people as we try to think of new ways that we can connect with those within the 2.5 mile radius of this campus. Next slide. And so when we're looking at 2019 strategic focus, like, we just want to kind of break this down real quick as we're looking at possessing a heart to serve. So here's some of the things we talk about taking it to the next level. This is definitely not, this is not just everything. This is not inclusive of everything. This is just some things that we're looking at doing for 2019 that we're believing in God that he's able to do for us this year. Amen, somebody. All right, so as we look real quick, possessing a heart for God. We're believing God. Where it says, Jesus, and we learned this from Pastor Kimon Hines in Luke chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. It says, and remain in the same house doing what, everybody? Doing what, everybody? Eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserve his what? Do not go from? Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Then it says, do what? And in it, and say to them the what? Okay, so this is Jesus' instructions as he's talking to the 70, as they're going out, and as they're ministering, as they're witnessing, as they're being a blessing, he gives like three basic strategies. He says, eat with them, heal, and to share. And so, eat, heal, share. Yeah, go ahead. Good. Yes. Okay. So, eat. Yeah, my man is helping me out here. Eat, share life. Do what, everybody? Do what, everybody? Share life with others. Heal is to do what? Meet needs. And then to share is to do what? Good news of the kingdom. Okay, so when we're talking about eat this year, we're talking about sharing life. Man, in the summer, man, we about to be in these streets, y'all. Amen, somebody. We're about to take the worship gathering into the streets. When the summertime hits and we get some consistent warmth, not the up and down like 71 week, 30 the next, like, no, we have football like that. We got played like that last year. We're like, yo, we're going to do a barbecue. And it was like 30 degrees that day. What's going to happen, right? But once the weather changes, amen, somebody, then we're going to be hitting these streets, y'all. And so what I believe, what I'm asking God, and I know he's able to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's able to do it, is we're asking God, man, we want to have our own blow up. Everybody extend your hands to that picture right now. This is extended right now, man. Amen. Amen. We are just believing God for our own blow. Dude, now I love Groovy Dogs. I love them. Those are my peeps. But they got a lot of our money. By now, we could have bought our own. Yeah. So it's time now. Amen, Kurt. It's time for us to invest in our own blow so that when we drop into a neighborhood, we got our own stuff. We plug it in. Amen. Kristen, she operates it. She's not receiving that, though. You're not receiving that word. Amen. She stands by. She's one of the monitors. Amen. Yo, we got our own blow up. Yo, so I'm just believing that God is going to do that for us. And so as we drop into these neighborhoods, we're doing like Sabbath school in the streets with the puppets and all this stuff, that we're there able to minister right where people are. Because one of the things that we see in these statistics is that people are not coming into the walls of the worship gathering. That number is decreasing. So if they're not going to come, we gotta go to them. All right, y'all, man.
Yes.
I need y'all to extend them hands, man. Now, I don't know how this is going to happen. But he has over 1,000 ways of which we know not. Man, I could do, if we had our own food trailer or truck, where we could barbecue, amen, barbecue, amen, some chicken, amen, okay. You thought I was going to say fried chicken, but no, some chicken, amen. We're in the community now, amen. We can't bring out no Big Franks out there. They will curse our names, man. I got a witness back there, Asia, amen, amen. Every vegetarian meal, I got to run by Asia so she can test it. Amen. That they will curse our name on the Big Franks. We got to come out there with some turkey dogs. Some beef. Amen. Some chicken. Hallelujah. But we're going to be out there, y'all. And just look, we have our own mobile vehicle to just drop in the spots, minister to the kids, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, just be present in the streets, because we know people are not going to be coming in. Now, guys, look, here's the thing. And here's what God does. These things are going to require some sacrifice, right? But here's what, you know, sometimes we think like, Lord, but I just, you know, what am I going to sacrifice, right? Man, if we're like the little boy, and we just give God our 5 barley loaves and our 2 fishes, God is able to multiply. Because God is more concerned not about the amount, but the spirit in which it's given. And when we're giving sacrificially for the kingdom of God, when we're giving, God will touch that, and do monies will come, provision will be made, because he sees the people of God with what they have, they're giving to the Lord. And so, man, we had this thing last year. We called it. Now I've got the name right now. I had it all mixed up last year. I called it Go God Grub. Go God Grill. But now we're gonna call it God Go Grub. There we go. Okay, thank you. All right. There we go. Okay, so y'all, we are believing the Lord for this thing, y'all. We are putting this thing on the prayer altar. We are asking the Lord to provide for us in some way. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that we're going to be out in these streets, and whatever he gives us, we're going to be out there. We're going to be grilling. We're going to be jumping. We're going to be preaching and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Next slide. This thing says it's heal. So he said to eat. So that's a way for us to minister, mingle, then to heal. We are going to take this Morris Elementary ministry to the next level in 2019. Amen, church. Dude, what the Lord has shown us, literally, just in the little that we have done, is that the harvest is truly ready. That there's opportunities for us to really connect in meaningful ways with the families of this school. Man, just in one of our mission planning meetings, man, somebody, this was a great idea, but just talking about just like in the line, like when we pass out stuff to give out information for that trunk or treat, yo, why not just bless the whole school with just some gift cards? Just everybody, here, God loves you from the bridge, boom, boom, boom. I believe that God's going to open up somehow, even though this is a public school, I don't know how the Lord is going to do it. I believe God's going to open up a way for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this school. And what I need is for everyone, because I believe, again, you're a millennial if you're here, and then some of us are not millennials like myself. But if God has brought you here, he has brought you here for such a time as this. God is marshaling, he's gathering. Even if you're here for a season, God has brought you here for you to pick up some things, for some things to be deposited in you, so that wherever you go, you've got that DNA in you to be a blessing, to serve, and to be a witness for others. And so we're taking this thing next level, Morris Elementary, man. We are going next level with this thing. Man, 10th residence, BET. Let's give it up for BET. Now y'all know, Mama's going to be talking about some gallon jugs this year. Amen. So, but one of the things that BET has come back with, and they said they want to do, is that for those in the 10th city, they want to help them have an extreme makeover. Well, we get them placed in a position, not just physically for one day, but like we get them in a position where we, by God's grace, maybe however many, that we can put them in a position where they can maybe get some type of employment, some type of situation where they can move forward in life. And so we're gonna be working on that. That's something that we're trying to get together for spring. Share. This year, we're believing God for at least 15 souls to be baptized and discipled. Notice I said, and discipled. And so I put that, you know, we're like, oh, but Pastor Roger asked for 100. Really, I didn't ask for 100 because I was like, Lord, how many people can we actually disciple? Like, because when we talk about discipleship, that's literally, I'm doing life. I'm pouring in. And so, like, Lord, we ask him for at least that. And if you give us more than that, we will believe in you for that. And so we're going to be doing training. We're going to be pouring in. We're going to be just giving just people to help just understand how can I share the gospel with other people. Then possessing a heart for one another. So we got that rhythm of in. We got that rhythm of out. All right, so this is the in rhythm, possessing a heart for one another. Go to the next slide. It says, we're believing God for authentic life on life community. Next slide. We have this thing here called missional communities. And what we try to do here is we try to do life together. This is where the life of the church happens. It's not just what's taking place here on the weekends, but it's what takes place in these missional communities during the weekend. So last year, 2018, we lost two communities. Amen. Let's give God a praise. Now, we wanted to launch four last year, but we were not ready, obviously. So we launched two. But we are believing God, and we are going to launch four by the end of 2019. And so the next cycle, we're just finishing a cycle of missional communities, and what that simply means, we're doing life, we're in the Word, we're encouraging each other in mission. We're going to, if you're interested in getting more information, there's a number of people that are part of our missional community. If you want to know more about just kind of what it's like to be a part of the Bridge, we have a kind of a starter, a missional community where you can come aware of that. And so those are functioning 8-week cycles. And so we're launching our next two missional communities in mid-February. And so we're going to have sign-up sheets so you all be able to become a part of that. Okay, next slide. We're believing God to help us to become a safe community for all people. I remember I told you guys about Matthew at Starbucks. That was a young man that he was talking to one of his friends. I wasn't being nosy. I wasn't dipping. They just were like too close. Heard the whole conversation. He said that he has not told his parents, who are Baptist, that he is a homosexual and that he didn't feel comfortable doing that, and he doesn't really feel safe in a church environment. That encounter, God impressed me to talk with him. You guys know the story. That encounter, like, really just, the Holy Spirit has been like, we have to have safe places for all people, wherever they're at in their journey, to be able to connect with the people of God. And so the question is, how can we allow for the Bridge to become one of those safe places? Next slide. What we want to do is we're launching this thing called Guiding Families of LGBT and Loved Ones in the second quarter of this year. It is a powerful resource. It's funny, when I preached at Main Campus on the 31st, one of the professors at Andrews happened to be there that day. He's like, "Oh, Pastor, dude, I got to tell you about this thing. I mean, I got it. It is amazing." But I just believe, yo, guys, like, in the society and the world that we live in, we have to be able to extend the love of Jesus Christ to whoever. And we got to know how to do that in a God-honoring way that's faithful to the Bible, but that's still faithful to the witness of Jesus Christ. And so we want to empower you to be able to do that. And so one of our things of this year, we're just like, yo, God, we want to be a safe community. We want to be a safe place for all people. Next slide. Possessing a heart for God. Just real quick, as we just roll that, because I know we've been here for a while. We're believing God for help in moving from just belief to practice. So I'm not just saying, yo, I believe that prayer works. I'm saying I believe and I pray. I'm not just saying I believe that the Bible is good for me, that it's going to be a blessing to me. I'm not saying that I believe and I actually read the Word. Like, we want to try to get us to a place where we move from a place from just believing to where we're also practicing as well. Next slide. And so, possessing a heart for God, we want to become who God has created us to be. We want to be a community where we are engaging Scripture on a regular basis. We're reading at least 3 to 5 chapters of Scripture daily in the month of 2019. Amen, somebody. So for those of you that are part of the 21-day challenge, we're already kind of getting those habits in our lives where we're learning how to just engage with Scripture. And one of the things that studies show is, of course, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the growth. But what studies show is that there's some 8 key areas that help us in our maturity with God. And that there's 4 keystone habits that if we allow those habits to be a part of our lives, will help to jumpstart the other habits. The one is engaging Scripture. The other one is being in a small group. The other is attending church on a weekly basis. And the final one is serving others outside of yourself. When you let those habits become a part of your life, it jumpstarts other things spiritually in your life. We're part of the 21-day challenge. We're launching Consistent Bridge Kids by God's grace in February. Amen. We want to become a healthy church in our physical body. Amen. I got to rebuke Dunkin' Donuts. And so, Fellowship Fitness is on Sundays at 10 a.m. And then we want to be healthy financially. We're again doing Financial Peace University. For those of you that would like to be a part of that, I'm going to ask the Vance, they'll just raise their hand for us. Brother and Sister Vance, they are Financial Peace alums. experts. They are just really amazing facilitators of the Financial Peace Program, and they're going to be launching a campus. They're going to be launching a group starting January the 27th. And so even if you're a student, a college student, and you just want to get ahead of the curve, you want to kind of know how to deal with your finances ahead of the curve, this is something that would be a powerful thing to be a part of. They're actually going to have something set up after after service where if you have questions or if you would like to get connected with them, they're going to see you after service. So finally, do we have enough? Do we have enough? Are we able? Last text here, Ephesians 3:20. Let's read this together. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I remember reading about someone that was illustrating this particular text in the Greek, that abundantly beyond could be also translated beyond, right? So there was a preacher, she was describing it this way. She said that, what if you had a husband for the wives, great guy, but really was kind of whack romantically, right? He really did nothing, right? You were like doing great if you got a card and maybe a gift card, right? So for your birthday, for your stuff, like you just, you know, maybe just, if you just got an acknowledgement, you felt like, yes, it was a win, right? So what if that husband, that particular husband, who's not really that great romantically, like one day it's your birthday, he comes and he gives you a card, and it's not only a card, but it's a gift card. It's to massage envy. And you also have a card where it's your day off. You'd be like, okay, yo, dude, that is beyond. You're like, that was beyond your expectation. You're like, yo, dude, that was good. Yo, he went beyond what I was doing. I got a card, and it was a gift card to massage envy, and I get a day off. Praise the Lord. Amen. He did well. I'm good. I feel great. Amen. But then, what if not only that he gave you the card, the gift card to massage envy, the day off, but then there's also an umbrella there? And you're like, okay, he was doing good, and then he fell off with the umbrella, because what the heck is that for? And then when he opens up the umbrella, you open up the umbrella, there's a note that falls out and says, it rains in Paris, France this time of year. Not only has he gone beyond, but he's gone beyond. And what Ephesians 3:20 tells us is that whatever we think, God is able to do beyond what we can imagine or think. Are there any believers in the house that believe that God is able to do in 2019? As we commit to God, I know there was a whole lot of information there, but as we commit to God, in 2019, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I want to invite you to stand with me just as we get ready to close. And so what we're going to do is this, guys. There's some of you that have been regular attenders here at the Bridge. And so this is not awkward for anybody. My ushers are going to pass out what's called a participant's covenant. Because I just believe that some of us here, the Holy Spirit's been saying, yo, this is the body, this is the group that you need to commit to, get involved with, do ministry in. And so on this participant's covenant, there's basically just kind of three areas. It's the three rhythms that we're asking God. We're just going to give it to everybody. Everybody will get one. So everyone's going to get one, but you don't have to sign this now. Because for some of us, God's not impressing us to do this right now. But for others of us that have not, that you've been here regularly, this is where you've kind of made your regular, you know, kind of commitment. This is just simply saying that, man, I want to take a further step in commitment and being a part of the bridge. And so, having accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, having been baptized by immersion, and having accepted the beliefs of the Bridge Seventh-day Adventist Church, I feel led by the Spirit to unite with this fellowship. In response to the faithful love of Christ towards me, this is my aim as a member of the Bridge. Possessing a heart for God, daily investing personal time in God, attending and inviting others to the worship gathering, possessing a heart for others, participating in inviting others to join a missional community, protecting the unity of my church by building others up, not tearing them down, giving faithfully 10% tithe for worldwide mission and free will offerings for local church mission, and then possessing a heart to serve, living out my daily life with gospel intentionality, serving in one of three ways, helping with the gathering team, leading a missional community, or serving in a local bridge mission project. So what I want you to do is, and you already may be able to move on this immediately. I want you to just pray, and if you feel already that God has already told you, hey man, this is where I want to be a part, we're going to invite you to sign this covenant and just give it to one of our ushers at the end of service. And if not, just take it with you. It's okay. But we really want to just, as we go into 2019, we really just kind of want to go in committed. If this is where God has planted me, if this is where he's placed me, let's go forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we just want to say thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So now, God, I just pray that as we look towards 2019, as we look to reach our community in ways, Lord, that will be impactful. Lord, I know there's more that the Spirit has told all of us collectively together. And so we just pray, God, for you to give us discernment and wisdom as we come together to talk about what your direction is for us. I pray for those that have been a part of this fellowship, this group. Lord, just attending, just coming on the weekends. I pray, God, that if you have spoken to their hearts to take another step and to be committed to the work that you've called us to do here at the Bridge, we ask you that you would help them to join us in that effort. We thank you, God. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
It's our prayer that something in the broadcast today spoke to you and was personally relevant. Please join us again for another worship experience next week. Until then, be blessed.